scripture reading today, if you would like to turn in your Bible to the scripture passage, it's John chapter 10, verses 1 through 21. And I'm reading today from the New International Version. This is the story of the Good Shepherd and his sheep. Jesus is still continuing his talk with the Pharisees. "Very truly, I tell you, Pharisees, anyone who does not enter the sheep pen by the gate, but climbs in by some other way is a thief and a robber. The one who enters by the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes on ahead of them, and his sheep follow him because they know his voice. But they will never follow a stranger. In fact, they will run away from a stranger because they do not recognize his voice." Jesus used this figure of speech, but the Pharisees did not understand what he was telling them. Therefore, Jesus said again, "Very truly, I tell you, I am the gate for the sheep. All who have come here before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep have not listened to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. They will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand is not the shepherd and does not own the sheep. So when he sees the wolf coming, he abandons the sheep and runs away. Then the wolf attacks the flock and scatters it. The man runs away because he's only a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me, just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father. And I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep that are not of this sheep pen, and I must bring them also. They will listen to my voice, and there shall be one flock and one shepherd. The reason my Father loves me is that I lay down my life only to take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have the authority to lay it down and the authority to take it up again. This command I received from my Father." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
So we're looking at the voice of the shepherd. You know, a lot of times, if you call someone and you're expecting them to answer, you'll recognize their voice. Even if you called the church and there were a dozen of us here, somebody answered, you might recognize the voice. Now, there's a couple friends of mine. Tim Stapleton was the minister at Linden Christian Church, and he hired a youth minister named Tim York. I kid you not, they sounded alike. Now, people would call them all the time and get the wrong one, but I tell you, they sounded alike, and they had the same name, and it was put to the test. When the wife of one of them started talking to the other one like it was her husband, that could be very dangerous, you know. So anyhow, most of the time we would recognize the voices of people that we know. Jesus is going to be talking in this passage about how the sheep, the true sheep, know his voice. And a couple of things that I want to kind of look at, kind of at the end of the passage. In verse 21, we see that this is a continuation of what took place that we talked about last week, after Jesus had healed the blind man. And we see that because once again the Pharisees are saying he has a demon. And once again there are those who say, how could he heal a blind man if he has a demon? You know, nothing's mentioned of the blind man in these verses until it gets there. And another thing I want to comment on first before we get into the scriptures is the most quoted verse in this passage is verse 10, where it says, "The thief comes to steal, to kill, and destroy, but I've come to give life and to give it more abundantly." And that verse is true as a standalone verse, but there's a context. And see, the problem a lot of times is, and I've done it before. I went through that era where I would just, you know, maybe have a dozen scriptures to make the points, and it would be a verse here and a verse here and a verse here and a verse here. The problem with that is you don't get the context, everything that goes around it. And so we can look at that verse where Jesus says, "I've come to give life and to give it more abundantly." And the part about the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy, we don't know the background of this. You may not even know just by looking at that one verse that it was in this parable of the lost sheep. So I want us to do that. I want us to get to the context of this. And we're going to talk about the sheep, and we're going to talk about what the shepherd does for the sheep. Now, in this passage, Jesus says, "Most assuredly, I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs up another way, he is a thief and a robber." Now, I want you to picture the sheepfold. It's kind of like a sheep daycare, but it's at night. And so the shepherd brings the sheep to the sheepfold. They enter through the door, and the sheep then are placed in the sheepfold. Now, the sheep that are brought are not just by one owner, by one shepherd. It's going to be many different shepherds are going to bring their sheep to this fold. And there will be a porter or a watchman who will guard the sheep. Now, what's interesting about this is they didn't brand the sheep. They didn't put anything in their ear or anything that would be a marking to identify who the sheep belonged to. But when the shepherd would go to pick up the sheep would recognize the shepherd's voice. There could be a dozen shepherds who go in, but the one that's going to follow this shepherd is going to be his sheep. The one that's going to follow this shepherd is going to be his sheep. Now, I think other animals recognize things too. We got three little dogs that recognize the sound of our car door. And once we slam the door, the barking begins. They recognize and they're excited. And what a welcome we get. They know the sound. And the sheep know the sound of the shepherd's voice. Now, when you think of this sheepfold, I want to just kind of make a point. This is a few months before Christmas, but maybe you've wondered. When the shepherds left their flocks at night so they could go see the baby Jesus, you know, you might have thought, well, who was taking care of the sheep? They could take the sheep to a sheepfold and they would be safely guarded. Now, when it comes to the idea of the door, the gate, there are two different ways this would be seen. One, there could actually be a physical gate that was opened, and the other If you got out into the wilderness areas, there would be a sheep pen, and the watchman was the door. He would lay down across the opening, and he was the door. Any predators that were coming through, it's kind of like the phrase, over my dead body. And I don't know, he must have had one eye open while he's kind of resting there, and maybe had his weapons ready. But they'd had to cross over the watchman. Any sheep that were going to try to escape, they would have to cross over. And so he was the door. And Jesus makes the illustration that he is the door. And he puts this background to where we see that any shepherd or any person who tries to come in any other way to the sheep is a thief and robber. Because, you know, a person... thief and robber, they could go in and say, these are my sheep. And the watchman would say, I don't recognize you. Which sheep are yours? It's these right over here. Call them. They're not coming to you. They're not your sheep. Get out of here. So Jesus says that his sheep will know his voice. Now, there's some things about sheep. Now, we are called sheep. And all men like sheep have gone astray. Also, the passage that we looked at, the Lord is my shepherd. He is my shepherd. Now, if you really get to understanding some facts about sheep, you may be kind of like, well, I don't know if I really like being called a sheep. I mean, sheep are pretty dumb. They need to be guided. They would wander and they would go this direction and that direction. They would get so far off track. Wait a minute. I guess that does sound like people. You know, if 66-year-old Dennis could go back and talk to 26-year-old Dennis, the conversation would go to my 26-year-old know-it-all self, you know, who was freshly out of seminary and thought he knew everything. It's funny, the older I get, the less I know. Yeah. Anyhow, so I would say, hey, I want to tell you, there are going to be some bumps in the road. Oh, yeah, I know that. Oh, there are going to be some real bumps in the road. There are going to be challenges. There are going to be struggles. There are going to be temptations. There are going to be things that happen that you just can't believe what happened. You're going to say things, you're going to do things, you're going to regret things. And then my younger self would say, well, I know that. What do you think, I'm stupid? And I'd say, yeah, I know you're stupid. I've been there. But if we could go back, that's what we would probably say to our younger selves, because we are like sheep. We get caught up in wandering this way or that way. We need guidance. And so Jesus isn't being demeaning, saying when he's talking about the sheep. The psalmist isn't being demeaning when he's talking about the sheep. We need a shepherd, and we got one. His name is Jesus. He lays down his life for the sheep. He says, I can lay it down and I take it up again. Now, let me just mention some things that the shepherd does and some things the shepherd doesn't do. First of all, the shepherd leads the sheep. The shepherd protects the sheep because the sheep need protection. Isn't it great to know that Jesus leads us and protects us? And ultimately, our protection is heaven. You know, that no matter what happens in this life, ultimately, it's to be in the presence of our Lord. We need to be led. So Jesus is the example of the good shepherd. Now, there are shepherds today. Pastors are shepherds. Elders are shepherds. And are supposed to shepherd the flock. Matter of fact, Paul and Peter both use examples referring to those who are church leaders in these roles as shepherds, to take care of the flock. So we are supposed to be the door. We are supposed to provide protection to the flock as well, and leadership to the flock. And that needs to be the commitment of those who would preach in the pulpit. It would also need to be the commitment of those who would teach in the church and those who would lead as elders and deacons and serve in other ways, that it's for the leading of the sheep. The second thing that a shepherd does is feeds the sheep. And it kind of ties in a little bit with leading the sheep. But feeding. Well, what do we feed on? Listen, it can't be the lectionary. It can't be just little verses pulled here and there. It's got to be the Word of God. That's what we feed on. Now, I find it interesting, and I used to hear this. I probably only heard it about half a dozen times in my home ministry, so I guess that's not too bad. But I'd hear somebody come up and say, Dennis, I'm just not getting fed here. Well, now I think there's a little problem with that. When my kids were younger, they knew how to get fed. You know, if mom and daddy weren't home, they knew how to get fed. Oh, they could go to the cupboard. They'd get the potato chips. They'd get all the stuff that they wanted. Get in the fridge, get a Coke or whatever. They knew how to get fed. Matter of fact, one of the most awful stories of my daughter, when she knew how to get fed, she went and got some potato chips and she put them in a bowl. And I sat down in a recliner and there was this little bowl of potato chips there. And so I thought, okay, well, I'll have one. And I ate it. It was the most awful tasting potato chip I ever had. I said, man, these potato chips are bad. She said, oh, that's because I licked everything off of them. Oh. They know how to feed themselves, and they know how to make dad go, yuck. So, anyhow, so I think about when somebody says, well, I'm just not getting fed. When's the last time you ate? Oh, it was last Sunday. It was last Sunday when you preached then. Well, that might be a reason you're not getting fed. You see, we need to do some things every day. We need to be putting things into our life every day when it comes to our relationship with the Lord. the reading of the word, prayer time, listening to some music that might inspire us, and just things where we spend time and we're growing daily. And that's not somebody leading you by the hand. That's choices that we make. And we need to do that for our own spiritual strength. So the shepherd, meaning those in leadership in a church, they lead and they feed the sheep. But it's not just all the feeding comes by what I say from the pulpit. You've got to be doing that on your own. But then thirdly, here's what the shepherd does not do. The shepherd does not fleece the sheep. Now, there's a lot of that going on today, and a lot of it that is in the name of Christianity. A lot of people who are just fleecing the sheep. And, you know, you can turn on some TV stations and you might hear a little bit about Jesus, and then you hear a whole lot about money. And that's just the reality. And it's kind of funny. You can get a form letter from somebody at one place and you get it with a different name at another place. Now, when I was at the Mount Juliet Church, you know, sometimes things would come Mount Juliet Church, and sometimes it'd be MJ Church. And somehow, I don't know, I probably sent something in and put it that way, MJ Church. Then I get this letter, and I get one at my house, and it says, "Dear Dennis, yada, 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 I just want you to know we're praying for you. And so that we can continue our ministry and continuing to lift people up in prayer, Dennis, would you send us a donation of 20, 50, 60, 80, whatever?" And then I'm over at the church and I'll open this up, MJ Church, "Dear Mr. Church," or "Dear MJ, we're praying for you. Would you consider..." They weren't praying for me. They didn't know me. And there's a lot of people who call themselves preachers who tell people that we are praying for you. And one of them, they found bags of prayer requests in a dumpster. Now, I'm not saying that there aren't people on TV who are preaching the gospel. There are some good ones. And there are some, though, that are just out to fleece people. And there are some in pulpits across America who are just out to do the same thing. If the focus is about money and the focus is about power and not caring and leading and feeding the sheep, then something is wrong. They are just hirelings. They are just people who are out to get what they can get, and they don't really care about the sheep. But when you connect with a church, and the church knows you, the pastor knows you, the congregation knows you. I mean, the pastor doesn't even have to know you. There can be some large churches who can do a pretty good job shepherding people if they have other people who are involved in it too. That's where you have protection, you have the feeding, and you have the leading that comes from the shepherd. In a way of speaking, we all can do some shepherding. Because as we grow in our relationship with the Lord, aren't we then supposed to share that and help others in their relationship with Christ as well? So with all of this backdrop, Jesus says in verse 10 that the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. but I've come to give life and to give it more abundantly. So true. From our shepherd, Jesus Christ. What any shepherd tells you needs to point to the good shepherd. What any preacher tells you needs to point to the good shepherd. And I'm so aware and so saddened that the trend is not to focus on the good shepherd, but to focus on the sheep that are wandering. See, that's where we get in trouble. And so we can have a whole culture of sheep who are wandering. And if we don't keep our eyes on the shepherd, then we can just say, well, we're going to just follow the sheep instead of trying to get the sheep to follow the shepherd. This morning, we invite you to the shepherd, to the good shepherd, Jesus Christ, the one who is the door. He lays down. No predator is going to be able to come to you. He's going to protect you. He's going to take care of you. Doesn't mean everything that happens will be the way we want, but ultimately, He will take care of our every need. Would you join with me as we sing our hymn of invitation? Let's all stand and listen.